T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk about COVID now, and a lot of texts I get seem to draw a line between survival rate and not, where they think it's a line. You either live or you die, and there's nothing in between. And what they don't realize is within that survival rate are people that suffer a lot because they don't get the vaccine. That in turn runs up medical bills, if not for themselves, then for society. It causes them great suffering, and it also affects their family. And with that, we welcome in Tim Schwartz, our new friend, a Hammond man. And we saw his story, Mike McDaniel had it on WWL-TV. And we want to take an hour and talk to Tim, because I think the best way to maybe convince people to get a vaccine, which I think is good for the overall public good, is by talking to people who had doubts about the vaccine and then were waiting to get it, and then they caught COVID, and then kind of, I just wanted to share their experience with us, and that's what Tim's going to do right now. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling? That's the first question.
Well, I will say the last 2 or 3 days, Tommy, I am feeling like myself again, and that is great news, because just the other day, just standing up, just walking across the room, I was gasping for air and those types of things. Actually, watched the interview on TV, and I just couldn't believe how sick and gasping for air I was, and I thought I was doing good that day. So, it's been a life-altering experience for me.
So how old are you, Tim?
I am 42 years old, sir.
All right. 42, do you have a Republican leaning one way or the other? Not a Republican, a political leaning one way or the other. You're Republican, Democrat, somewhere in between?
I will say that I lean more towards the Republican leaning. Yes, sir.
Okay. And the only reason I ask that is when it came to deciding whether or not you were going to get the vaccine, not now, but what was running through your head then? And people might be listening right now, and the same thing might be running through their heads right now. You hear about this vaccine. I don't know if you're involved in social media. I don't know if you're listening to people, talking to people, hearing the news, this, that, the other thing. Where were you on the vaccine, say, in June, before you started to experience any of the symptoms at all?
Okay, so let's go back even further. So when we first heard about COVID, I was watching it very closely on the news, whenever it was overseas. I can remember when here comes Mardi Gras, and my ex-wife took my kids on a cruise because, people in Louisiana, when Mardi Gras comes, they always leave the state to go do things. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, flipping out. I'm like, are you crazy? Are you going on a cruise? Don't you hear about this virus that's going across the world? I mean, you couldn't pay me to go to Mardi Gras, because I just knew it was going to be a major outbreak. And then as things kind of went on, time went by. I started noticing that, people my age and those types of things weren't getting really sick. And it was mainly just the elderly. And so that was the class that I thought that really needed to be protected. And so when the vaccine come out, my mother, she got the vaccine. She's in her 70s. And my brother, he's in his 40s. He got the vaccine, and his wife. And then the other half of my family, we were kind of against getting the vaccine. Now, me personally, I have a psoriatic arthritis. And so there was, maybe a concern for me about possibly Could I catch the virus? Could I not catch the virus? How it would affect me? So, you know, I asked my doctor, you know, what are your thoughts of me getting the vaccine? And I called Humira because that's the medication that I take. And they said that there is no data, no studies being done on people that take Humira. Would the vaccine work for them? Would it be harmful to them? Because there is no data. There is no study. This is all brand new. But they said the very act of what Humira does, it lowers your immune system, because when arthritis kind of affects you, your body is really fighting itself. So your immune system is working against you. It attacks your joints and those types of things. So Humira, it lowers your immunity, so your body won't fight itself. So they said, if anything, if you take the vaccine, there's a possibility that the vaccine may not work for you because it's going to lower your immune system. So what your body's trying to do, it won't work for you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I started seeing some of the stuff on social media about, you know, the one person that would take the vaccine and they break out in a bad rash and those types of things. Well, I have psoriasis. And so, you know, the thought kind of come to my mind, if I take this vaccine, is this going to have me have a major flare up of psoriasis that's going to cover my body and those types of things? So, you know, I really just kind of wanted to wait and see, you know, as time went on. And another reason
why. Go ahead, Tim, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please go ahead.
And then another reason why I was kind of against getting the vaccine or waiting to see was I felt like they were really pushing this vaccine down our throats. I mean, they're, you know, if they want us to take this vaccine so bad, why? I mean, they're giving people $1 million to go take the vaccine, you know, for free. Why are they doing this? I mean, there has to be a reason. You know, they invested all this money. So, I mean, I just question it. It would be, you know, the more they push it and want me to have it everywhere I turned, it would always give me more of a doubt of saying why. So,
you suspected some kind of ulterior motive? And what was the ulterior motive you might have suspected?
I don't know what the alternative motive is, but I have to question why are they wanting us to do this so badly that they're now just paying people, you know, they're going to give someone $1 million lottery just to do it.
They're giving away prize money, not paying people $1 million to get the vaccine, because I'd go get it a couple of times if I could. Yeah.
It's a lottery.
So that's how you felt then. Do you still feel that way now?
I will say that whenever I went into the hospital, the first thing that I can remember saying was, man, if I would have just took that shot. I mean, maybe I wouldn't be in here. If I just took it, you know, I remember saying that.
Let me take a step back first. While you're wondering about, because I'm just trying, Tim, I'm not criticizing you at all. I'm just trying to use you as a case study to understand how people feel what they feel. When you were opposed to the vaccine and you were saying, you know, why are they trying to jam this down our throats? Why are they forcing it on us? Did politics enter into this at all? Did you think it was some kind of government controlled thing? Were you afraid that there was some kind of something in the vaccine? Because it seems like you were concerned about the psoriasis. I understand that in the Humira, but then you seemed like you also had something in your mind about government and forcing it down your throat. And at that point, it would seem as though, I guess, where were you getting your information, or from whom were you taking your lead?
Well, on the government issue, I would say over the last 4 years, I really quit watching a lot of the media. It just seemed like every time that I would, you know, watch something, I would keep up with WWL all day long on a news story, and then I would turn on the 5:30 news, you know, the national news, just to see what it was. And it would be slanted so differently than what I had kept up with it all day long. So I really took a step back from the national media, and I just kept up with more local news and, you know, reading, I would say, not necessarily Facebook, but I would say WWL TV's news that comes from Facebook, WDSU news, you know, our local news channels. You know, I would read those types of things, you know, from the internet to keep up with it. But, you know, as for the, you know, the government portion of it, I just always felt like something bigger has been at play with COVID from the very beginning. Is it something's been off with this virus since it's come about? I don't know. It's just
all right,
never
well, let me take a life. Break. All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. We got an hour. I'm talking to Tim Schwartz, Hammond man who caught COVID, and the first thing he said, as you heard him say, when he went into the vaccine, when he went to the hospital, he wishes he had got the vaccine. Tim, would it be fair to say before you got sick that your concerns were equally medical and equally political, for want of a better phrase, about what's behind the government pushing it so hard, et cetera?
I would say there's a 50-50 chance there, yes, sir.
About even, about 50, okay. Taking a break, coming back, picking it up here on WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker, back with Tim Schwartz in a second here on WWL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
9:24. We don't want to go back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Tim Schwartz, nice enough to give us an hour of his time, who was waiting on a vaccine. He had some doubts about it. As he just said, about half political, and why was the government pushing it so much? And he got a little bit suspicious, and about half medical because of some pre-existing conditions and some medication that he was taking. And we just want to hear the story of one man's journey through the entire COVID experience. So let's pick it up, Tim, when you first began to feel bad. When was that? And for those of us that have never had it, How did it begin to affect you? What did you wake up thinking you had a cold or something or what?
Well, Tommy, my might be a little bit different because it all happened right after the 4th of July weekend. At the time, we started doing some remodeling in my house. We ripped out the floor and started putting vinyl plank flooring down and painting. So all during the 4th of July weekend, I was remodeling my house. I was staying up late at night, painting and doing those types of things. At the same time, I was doing a low-carb diet. The 4th of July, I broke my diet. I ate some watermelon. So here it is now, July 5th. I coughed for the first time. I felt very fatigued the next day, July 6th. And I contributed that at the time for just doing house remodeling. And I broke my diet, so my body's feeling different because I'm not in my low-carb state anymore. But when I woke up Tuesday,
I'm guessing maybe some allergies too, Tim, you're thinking, because you got dust kicked up all over the place and everything?
Oh, absolutely. So when I woke up July 6th, I just felt really fatigued. I remember I was sleepy all day. And I was like, man, I'm 42 years old. This remodel is kind of kicking my butt type of thing. Well, July 6th went by, and I felt the same way. July 7th went by, and I just felt really fatigued. Well, now it's Thursday, and I come home, and my wife says she feels the same way. And I remember reading that day an article, about the Delta variant and those types of things. And I can remember saying to someone, I was like, what if I have, COVID? And they're like, oh, you're just being, superstitious or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it made me think, why did my wife start feeling a little bad? Well, then that night, Friday night, I remember waking up during the middle of the night, and I had a burnt metallic taste in my mouth. And
like electrical almost, Tim?
Yes, sir. It was just a weird taste. That's the only thing I can explain. It was like a burnt metallic taste. Mm-hmm. Continue to work on my floor, my house, and as the day progressed, I had that smell of a burnt metallic. And I remember telling my wife, I said, I'm going to get tested. So I went and got mm-hmm. tested that day, and I tested positive for COVID. I just felt weak at the moment, but I continued to work on my floor. That night, about 9:30,
you kept remodeling the house and working on the floor?
Yes, sir. I mean, I remember that day. I remember telling my mom, I said, if this is COVID and they shut down the whole world for this, this is nonsense. I remember I was that cocky. Mm-hmm. By 9:30 that night, I could barely walk.
Wow.
All my muscles was really, really hurting really bad. The next day, we took my wife because now she could barely walk. She was coughing, and so we took her to go get tested. And she tested positive. And I remember sitting in there the whole time trying to get medicine. I couldn't hardly open my eyes. I just felt really weak. The inflammation in my body had just exploded. Every joint in my body I could feel. It just felt like someone was pulling me in two different directions. I mean, it was just excruciating. At the time, I wasn't running fever. I could just barely open my eyes. So I felt really weak. I also was nauseous. I couldn't, every time I go to stand, I feel like I just, was just nauseous. So that Saturday, Sunday, and then to Monday, I never did run fever. I just couldn't hardly get out of bed. My wife was pretty much the same way. Monday night, I started running fever. I had about 102.5 fever. And I remember I couldn't hardly ever, like I remember coughing really, really, really bad. And then when I woke up on Tuesday, the doctor had said he told me to get an oxygen monitor sensor for my blood. Mm-hmm. Just stick it on your finger, and said if your oxygen starts dropping, you need to go to the emergency room.
Let me ask you a question real quick. You get diagnosed with COVID. You're seeing a doctor. Do they give you any medicine? What do they tell you to do?
They told me there's nothing they could do for me other than just go home and just treat it with Tylenol and ibuprofen. Just swap it up if you get fever. They said there's nothing they can do for COVID other than just let it run its course.
Okay.
And I wasn't very happy about that.
So you're sitting there with your eyes open, trying to get some help. Everything's hurting. Your wife is tested positive as well. What happens from there?
So on Tuesday, when I wake up, I checked my oxygen from the little oxygen sensor, and it had dropped down to about 93, and my mm-hmm. chest is getting harder to breathe. On Wednesday,
Tim,
when I woke up,
what is it supposed to be when they send you home with an oxygen sensor? That seems like, I know it, I know you're a do-it-yourselfer with putting the floor down, and that's great, but when it comes to doctor and maybe not so much do-it-yourself, they sent you home with an oxygen sensor and told you to watch for what?
It's just a little meter that you put on your finger, and it checks your oxygen, your blood oxygen. And they said that if it goes down below 92, you need to go to the emergency room. at the time when they gave it to me, it was at 98. You know, 98 okay. to 100. I think my wife's was at 100. But on Tuesday, it had dropped to 93. And when I woke up Wednesday, it was in the 80s. It was like 88.
And how are you feeling? So the monitor's showing 80. How are you feeling with a blood saturation of 80?
Oh, I felt horrible. Because now I'm running fever, and I could barely walk. And, you know, my wife is, thank goodness she's strong enough to take care of me, even though she's feeling horrible. It's just, you know, now it's getting hard to breathe. And so when I woke up Wednesday, I said, it's time. Let's go to the emergency room. And whenever I got there, they ran some tests on me. And I remember they made me get up and march in place, to see if they could watch my oxygen drop. And I thought I was about to die. I just couldn't breathe.
They made you march in place?
Yes, sir. They made me stand up and just march in place. And I remember just coughing so bad. You know, I said, this is it. I'm about to die right here marching in place. I couldn't even march in place.
Wow. And so, okay, so you go to the hospital. They put you in a bed, right, in a room?
Well,
or did they take you straight to intensive care?
No, sir. So when I get there, they put me in. I'm in the emergency room, in the waiting room, and they have like some little cubicles that for the COVID people.
Right.
They had about three of us in there that was coughing. And so they bring us in the back. They would like take chest x-rays of us, and then they put us back over there in the corner where I guess the COVID people are at. And I guess I got there about 10 in the morning, and I guess it was about 8 o'clock at night. They finally said, we're going to admit you into the hospital because they've now done the chest x-rays. They see now that I have double pneumonia, and I qualify for being put into the emergency room.
All right, let me pick it up there when we come back, or into the hospital, from the emergency room, right? Into the hospital. All right, so when we come back, we'll pick it up there. You go to your bed. Did you wind up in intensive care?
I did not end up in intensive care. They brought me straight to a room to admit into the hospital. It was isolation.
All right, we'll talk about the treatment and what you felt like and so forth, and then where you stand today when you come back. I just appreciate your time, Tim, because we've – you know, we talk about this a lot. You're the first person I've ever really talked to that had it and was hospitalized and kind of walked us through the whole thing. Tim Schwartz, Hammond Man, caught COVID, survived, had a hell of a time with it, wished he had been vaccinated, and he was honest enough to tell us that he had both medical concerns and political concerns, if you will, about the government and trusting the government and so forth. We'll pick it up here when we come back. 9:33, 27 before 10, traffic now on WWL.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is currently 9:37, 23 before 10. I'm Tommy Tucker on WWL. Pelicans tweeting about 35 minutes ago, the NBA draft tonight, of course. But the Pelicans announced today that the team has traded the 53rd overall pick in the 2021 NBA draft to the Philadelphia 76ers in exchange for cash consideration. So we'll follow that for you and let you know anything else as soon as we have information on it. We're talking to Tim Schwartz, Hammond Man, who caught COVID. He was not nuts about getting a vaccination before. He did not get vaccinated, but he had a rough time with COVID-19, and he's kind of walking us through that now. So he was exhausted, tested positive, sat in the emergency room from, I think he said, about 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Finally, they bring him upstairs to a bed, and they put you in an isolation room. How are you feeling, and what happens from there, Tim?
All right, Tommy. So now they admit me to the hospital, and they said at the time that there was two types of treatments that I would qualify for. One was like an antibody, an infusion that if my oxygen would have been high enough, that they could have sent me home, and I could have just done it at home. But they said since my oxygen had dropped below 90%, that now they had to admit me to the hospital. So they did a 5-day treatment of an antiviral. That's called remdesivir or something to
remdesivir,
that nature.
Remdesivir, right.
There you go. So it's a 5-day treatment. So as soon as they put me up in my room, they started the infusion. And so at that time, you know, they had me on, I think, like 2% oxygen. And my oxygen was staying around 92-93%. Was very hard to breathe at times. And what's weird, though, is when they put me on the infusion, a smell changed in my nose. I can't explain what that smell is to this day, but it was very, very, very strong, and everything changed in my taste also. It was very weird. I to this day, I still can't explain it. And
did you feel as though that was a turning point?
No. So that was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I just felt horrible. Even with the treatment, there was at times I would go through coughing spells that I would lose my rhythm of my breathing because I could only breathe short, and they would make me come in and do, you know, breathing treatments, and I would lose that rhythm. And when I would lose that rhythm, there was at times that I thought I would never gain the rhythm again. And those are the times that I thought I was going to die. And they would just say, you know, smell the roses through your nose and blow out the candles with your mouth. And that's how I would gain my rhythm back again. And then, you know, the panic of, okay, am I about to die here in this hospital bed, you know, would go away.
Did you ever think you were going to die?
When I would lose that rhythm of my breathing, there was times that I thought, this is it. You know, I'm not going to regain it, because as hard as I'm gasping for air, you know, there would be no oxygen. Even though I had oxygen going through my nose, it just felt like I wouldn't regain it. And then I would just have to lean back, concentrate as hard as I could to get back in rhythm of breathing again. And as much as it hurt to, you know, breathe in that oxygen because I had, you know, double pneumonia, I would eventually, the panic and anxiety would cease, and then I would get back in that rhythm of breathing again. And I said, okay, you know, you're okay. But most of the time when I felt like this is it was in the middle of the night. I'd maybe have to get up to go to the restroom, and now I go from a laying position now to on standing, and that coughing spurt would come on, and you know, I'd find myself in the bathroom alone, you know, gasping for air, and there is no one to help me. And I said, okay, this is it. You know, I'm going to die right here in this bathroom. And it's a scary feeling. And those are
I'm not trying to make fun, Tim. You're better now, so I can make a little joke about
right.
it. But and we're talking to Tim Schwartz, because for those of you that are vaccine hesitant and think, well, you can get it, 99.9% of the people that get it survive. This is part of the survival story and what he went through. So what kind of pain are you in here? Is your chest clogged? Do you feel like, I don't know, is your chest hurt with every breath? Do your joints hurt? What's going on with you while you're lying there?
Okay, so when I'm in the hospital, you know, and I'm taking all this treatment, it's just mainly I'm having chest pains, congestion in my chest. I just feel really weak and those types of things. Now, things that I did differently, maybe, I don't know, part of my success when I was in the hospital was I did not stay on my back unless, you know, I had to. As soon as I woke up during the day, I got in my chair. I tried to walk around the room as much as I could because, you know, the nurses said when you lay flat on your back, they were finding that the COVID would affect your lungs worse, and so they said if at night when you sleep, make sure you sleep on your stomach or sleep on your side, because if you lay on your back, you know, that COVID would get you really fast, and those are the ones that didn't make it. So I was very paranoid about staying on my back. I was standing as much as I could in the corner, because I would look out the window and I'd kind of stand over there next to the side, and you know, nurses kept saying, you know, you're doing what you need to do to get out of here. But whenever I got there, I think they said that the week before they had 3 COVID patients. When I got there, I made 13. And by the end of the week, there was 21. And they said the age range was ages 24 to I was 42. And these were all young people. It was a whole different class of people that were coming into the hospital than what they had been previously seen.
How did you feel when you went home? How were you feeling?
So the last day of treatment, I remember they said I was going to be released, and I'm like, I don't feel well. But I actually, when they released me, I started feeling good. It was like instantaneously, I just finished my treatment. You know, I felt good. Well, I'm not going to say good, but at least I felt well enough to leave the hospital. And whenever I got home, I couldn't hardly stand and those types of things because I was just starting gasping for air. But at least I wasn't having coughing spouts where I felt like I was about to – this would be my last breath. And so they said it would be about 9 days before I started feeling normal again. And I'm probably about day 9, 10 now from being released from the hospital. And, it's only been the last 2 days where I'm starting to feel like, hey, I feel like my old self again. So I'm feeling really good, Tommy.
Wait, what about the floor?
My wife is bugging me every day, and boy, am I going to finish it. It's just been it's been standstill.
Mrs. Schwartz, give him a break. He was very, very sick. So what about lingering issues in terms of weird taste in your mouth, smell? Because I got a text from somebody that said, I caught COVID in November. My smell is still screwed up. Hard to explain like Tim, but it's not the same. Where are you on that in terms of taste and smell and everything?
So me and my wife both lost our taste of sense of smell. Now, I can taste, but it doesn't taste the same. I can smell, and it doesn't smell the same. I could eat an onion and it just doesn't taste like anything, but maybe I could drink orange juice and I could taste a little bit of sweetness. It's, you know, whenever I first got home from the hospital, everything tasted extremely salty. Water tasted bitter to me. But you know, now nothing really, I mean, I could gargle with Listerine right now in my mouth. I couldn't even tell that it was Listerine in my mouth. It's very weird. Something else, my vision, whenever I came home from the hospital, everything got really, really blurry. I don't really wear glasses, but I do have a pair of glasses, and I started having to wear my glasses because I couldn't read things, and I couldn't even – I was watching a movie, had Kevin Costner in it, and I couldn't even tell it was him. Everything was blurry. But I feel like my vision has kind of come back. what was it? I don't remember. It was in the 80s.
It was Tin Cup. I didn't know. All right, okay.
No, it was a Western.
All right. So you, how has that affected you? How bummed out are you that you can't taste anything or smell anything, really?
Well, you know, it was a little – I remember saying I was kind of bummed out about it because I've been sick for 14 days. I just wanted to start feeling normal again, get back on with my life. But it hasn't bothered me too much because I do have a taste and a smell. It's just not the same.
So, like, when you eat, if you're going to eat, what do you like to eat? What's your favorite? Pizza. What do you taste when you eat pizza, for example?
Well, I actually ate pizza yesterday because I was craving pizza, and it didn't taste like anything.
Really?
I couldn't taste. I couldn't taste any of the tomato sauce or anything like that. The things that I have been eating that I have enjoyed. I ate a hamburger. The cheese tasted really bitter and sour to me, but at least it had a taste to me. I have made a lot of a crock pot stuff like that, and it has a texture to it, but it doesn't taste like anything.
Have you lost weight, Tim?
So whenever I went into the hospital, I lost 20 pounds. Now, I have done my best to gain the 20 pounds back, so.
But
which is weird because
Well, the reason I was going to ask you is if you can't taste anything, that's the big part of eating, right?
I guess it's just something about being from Louisiana. You just like to eat because you do it.
It's a habit.
It's a habit, yes, yep.
What are they telling you about your sense of taste, et cetera? Is it eventually going to come back, or can they tell you that?
They can't tell me that, no, sir.
Wow. How worried are you about that?
I'm not too worried about it because other people that I know that have caught COVID in the past, it eventually came back. It's just my daughter, Summerlin, she actually had COVID back in the springtime, and she got it back, you know, a few a few weeks later.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's 14.
14. So, bottom line, what would you tell people? Well, first off, a vaccine, as far as you go, what are they telling you about a vaccine? Do you need to wait a period until you get it? Do you get it or not? What are they saying?
Okay, so I had to go see my primary care when I got released from the hospital, and I discussed it with them. He told me that they're saying 4 weeks after I recover from COVID that I could be eligible to get the vaccine, and he highly recommended that I get it.
Do you have any doubt in your mind, or are you going to?
I am right now. I am leaning about 95% that I'm going to get the vaccine. Is about a 5% that says, "Oh, I have the antibodies now. You know, let's ride it as long as I can, because maybe they may come out with a new vaccine." You know,
but you know they're not working on a new vaccine.
I know that they're not,
yeah.
Tommy.
Okay, just so everybody understands, what would you tell people right now that have not had COVID, that have not been vaccinated, that are where you are, 50% about pre-existing conditions or medicine, 50% about government jamming it down your throat, they're hesitant to get the vaccine. You went through it. I'm sure you went through the period, as we all have, that have been sick for some period, even or some kind of surgery where you think you're never going to get well. Hopefully you've rounded that corner. What would your advice be for people that are listening and they're where you were before you got sick? What would you tell them?
I would tell them this, that I took a gamble with COVID, and I eventually caught COVID, and I had a severe case of COVID. And the whole time that I was in the hospital, I was just telling myself, man, if I'd have just took that vaccine, maybe I wouldn't be in this condition. So that was the reasoning. You know, the 95% while I'm leaning towards getting the vaccine. And, I feel fairly confident in 4 weeks I'm going to have that vaccine in my body, because I know what COVID did to me, and I ain't gambling a second time around with it.
And this is not – I'm not picking on you at all, Tim. I'm just trying to figure out the way the thought process works. What would fuel that 5% where you said you would try to ride the antibodies out? What would fuel that? What would –
Just, Tommy, there's something that's been from the very beginning of COVID to this vaccine. I've just had doubt and skepticism that maybe this vaccine ain't what they say it is. And that's just, maybe it's just natural doubt that's just going on. And I'm not an anti-vaxxer.
Would it be like this, Tim? Would it be something along the lines of, a lot of people think that marijuana is no more dangerous than alcohol, but they won't allow themselves to want it to be legalized because they've just been conditioned. And I shouldn't have brought that up. That's a bad example. But it's just something that's in your mind that you have a hard time getting out of. Would that make sense?
Well, somebody that I know, my mother-in-law lives in a house with us. She's vaccinated. She got vaccinated. She never come down with any symptoms. Someone else that was exposed to my wife was vaccinated, got sick, did not have a hard case of it. But you know, that's 50. You know, one person vaccinated caught the virus, one person didn't. I know two people right now in my hometown that are vaccinated, and they went to the emergency room yesterday. So, who's to say the vaccine is even going to work?
But yet, 95% of you is leaning toward getting it, and when you were sick, you wished you had gotten it.
I'm going to get it because I knew what it did to me, and I may not survive a second round of COVID.
I appreciate I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate you taking the time with us, Tim, and I appreciate the insight. I really do, and feel better, all right, my friend?
All right, Tommy, thank you for your time.
The lesson you should learn from this is whenever you have the feeling to remodel something, have a cold beer and lie down until that feeling passes, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Tim. Good luck to you. Tim Schwartz caught COVID and was nice enough to share his experience with us. We'll take a break, come back, find out what Noel Norman's got going for us here on WWE.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.